As Florida is closing in on 1,000 confirmed coronavirus deaths and more than 4,400 hospitalizations, Dr. Leon Haley is the CEO of UF Health Jacksonville, and Superintendent Tim Forson, State Attorney Melissa Nelson, Clay County Sheriff's Michelle Cook, Superintendent Dr. Diana Green, Democrat Representative Al Lawson, Jacksonville Sheriff Mike Williams, Northeast Florida Representative Michael Waltz, WOKV Political Analyst Nick Seabrook, Jacksonville Area Representative John Rutherford, Jacksonville Beach Mayor Charlie Latham, and Supervisor of Elections Chris Chambliss, the Duval Supervisor of Elections. Mike Hogan, Dr. Pauline Roll is the director of the Duval County Health Department, freshman lawmaker from our area, Representative Kat Kamak. Chief Keith Powers joins me. This is Fire Station 28 on Hogan Road. Dr. Salam Salomon from UF Health College of Medicine in Jacksonville. Dr. David Caro from UF Health Jacksonville and the emergency department and a regular here. I'm Rich Jones. Events in recent weeks have put racism, policing, and reform under the spotlight in Jacksonville. Earlier today, my colleague, CBS 47, Fox 30, Action News Jax's Tanika Hughes and I sat down with community and government leaders in a spirited, passionate discussion about body-worn cameras, officer-involved shootings, racism, and more. We present Time for Change, Racism, Policing, and Reform in Jax.
And we're here to spark a conversation with various leaders from our community. And I want to start by introducing them for you right now. Let's begin with State Attorney Melissa Nelson of the 4th Judicial Circuit, who is currently running unopposed. Next, Christina Kittle of the Jacksonville Community Action Coalition. She is a co-founder of that organization. We have Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry. Ben Frazier, president of the Northside Coalition of Jacksonville. JSO Sheriff Mike Williams, and attorney Leslie Scott Jean Barr with Terrell Hogan. Her late grandmother, Mary Singleton, was the first black woman elected to Jacksonville City Council, and she's been a public servant for several years.
And Tanika, we have seen so much change and appeals for change, and I guess I think the place to start is with our elected leaders in the community. And Mayor, just this week you have announced some changes immediately as it pertains to Confederate monuments and markers across the city of Jacksonville. Why now? What specifically motivated you to make that decision now?
Sure. Well, if you had asked me 2 years ago, in fact, I was on the record a couple of years ago as it relates to Confederate monuments. I viewed the issues as their statues. We have economic issues we have to deal with. We have public safety issues we have to deal with. We have infrastructure issues. I mean, there's a list of priorities that as a leader you have to identify and you have to move on those to accomplish those. And so I frankly, at the time, I didn't understand the depth of the pain. I didn't understand what it meant to so many people in our community. And the events of the last couple of weeks as it relates to that issue, I've done some soul searching and I've evolved on the issue. And I, in my judgment, as a leader of this city of almost a million people, from diverse backgrounds, it was time for them to come down.
The state attorney, your office put out a 3-page memo. Did that, or was there soul searching that motivated that decision? And if you could recap some of the key changes that you've specifically outlined just this week.
So yesterday we issued a memorandum, a very comprehensive memorandum related to body-worn camera. We have been inundated with inquiries from citizens, demonstrators this past weekend, the media, about how we investigate officer-involved shooting incidents and how and when we release body camera footage. The memorandum was not a result of soul searching. In fact, we've been discussing issues related to body-worn camera since it rolled out at JSO. It was intended to spark conversation and hopefully solicit questions, but really to explain how at the state attorney's office we investigate officer-involved shooting incidents, how we reformed those processes 3 years ago, and where we've identified places that we can continue to reform and will. So our commitment at the end of that memorandum that you read was to do just that. And specifically, we agree that there needs to be a time certain for the release of body cam footage in officer-involved shooting incidents. But important to us, every time we investigate any matter, any criminal matter, and certainly a shooting incident, is to ensure the integrity of that investigation. And by that I mean it's important that every witness account that we obtain, every time we swear a witness and ask them what they saw, that their account is their own, and it's not influenced by anything else they've seen. And that's true as well for law enforcement officers. We explain that in the memoranda, that that policy also is true for shooting officers. They're only allowed to see the footage from their own device. They're not allowed to see footage from any other device. And there's a reason for that. We want to make sure that every witness account is what it is. So we're open. We're consulting with people in other jurisdictions. What that time frame is, I don't know right now. I know what we want to make sure we ensure in the work that we do, and that is the integrity of the investigation that we do. But we also want the public to have confidence. And we think that a time certain in every single case will give the public confidence that we're not sitting ever on footage for nefarious reasons. And so that's our intended goal.
And to our other elected leader, Sheriff Mike Williams, with the largest budget, $358 million, and with so many hundreds of officers, I would imagine it's not fast to make a policy change, but what specific changes have you already begun to address within the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office?
So, you know, we looked at policies in 2015 when I came in and made adjustments to policy. We're always evaluating that. And a lot of that evaluation and a lot of that change comes from conversations with the community.
There have been a lot of generous sponsors that have stepped up to the plate. I know business owners who are out there in the community. If you're listening to the stories and you're impacted, the phone center will be open for a few more minutes at **1045 or 516-5460. You can give through the day at WOKV.com or childcancerfund.org. And we're going to continue Carathon on the air with stories until about 6 o'clock. But as we wrap up the morning, Carla Montgomery, Executive Director of the Child Cancer Fund, can you give me a sense of where we're at? We started the day at about $150,000 or so dollars. Where are we at to end Jacksonville's morning news?
We are currently at $175,000.
Wow, that is phenomenal. In a recession and a pandemic.